Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I hope you're doing well, walking in the peace of Christ. We've been looking this week at gospel readings from Matthew chapter 10 that the church gave us beginning Sunday. This is a section where Jesus is instructing the apostles on their calling, the mission that he's called them to, and what it's going to cost, the inevitable persecutions that are going to come as a result of it, and where Jesus wants us to plant our hearts, you know, to fix our gaze and our mind and to understand what's happening before us, what will unfold in the history of the church, beginning with the apostles as they walk in the footsteps of Jesus and face the challenges and trials. And some of what Jesus says is difficult to hear. And he requires a lot from us. He requires total loyalty to him. He requires ordering our loves properly, to love God above all things. And one of the things we've been talking about all week that helps that happen is the gift of the fear of the Lord. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Scripture says. There's a few passages here I'd like to just read from the Scriptures that talk beautifully about the fear of the Lord. For example, Exodus 20:20, which I mentioned a few days ago. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear." That is, don't fear men and don't fear the trials that they're engaging in. He goes on, he says, "For God has come to prove you, to test you, and that the fear of him may be before your eyes, that you may not sin." So there's physical battles and physical trials. That's one way to look at them, but what Moses is saying, he's helping them, he's taking back the veil, and he's saying, why are these trials and these tests and this opposition coming to us? Because God wants to test and prove us and teach us how to live from the fear of the Lord, keeping the Lord in his holiness, his awesome power, his greatness, and our duty to please him and live as a creature, as a child of God. And he's saying, with this, it will help you so that you don't sin. You know, sin looks so powerful when the temptation comes. The fear of the Lord is a grace. It's a gift in a time of temptation, a time when we're threatened, a time when we're just tempted to inordinate pleasures, whatever, to just stop for a minute and say, to be able to have the gift to grasp the holiness of God and how unbelievably foolish it is for us to oppose or do anything that would go against his will for our lives. Remember, Jesus said, "I come to do the will of him who sent me. His will is my food." This is the way to life and health. And that's what Jesus wants to teach us. Here's Proverbs 15:33. "The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility goes before honor." Proverbs 16:6. "By loyalty and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one avoids evil." That's a constant theme throughout the Bible. Through the fear of the Lord, as Moses said, as the Proverbs say here, the fear of the Lord helps us avoid evil. Another one, Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord is life indeed. Filled with it, one rests secure and suffers no harm." It's such an important gift and strengthens us. And in the New Testament, there's some beautiful descriptions of the church. Acts 9:31. "Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up, even though it was being rejected, it wasn't being accepted everywhere. And the church was living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, it increased in numbers." The church grew, and what Luke, the writer of Acts, is telling us that what characterized the life of these new communities in Christ were the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This is a good thing to ask ourselves, pastors, if you're listening, bishops, if you're listening, you know, teachers in parishes and schools, what are our parishes like? Do these two things characterize the life of the parish? Are people living in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Or are they living in the fear of men? Are they living in slavery to that fear? Are they living to please God above all? What's the state? What's the condition? This is where good preaching surfaces this. Good preaching and teaching, of course, shepherding and knowing your people. And it's a big mistake to not talk about the fear of the Lord. I just went through a confirmation class. I was a confirmation sponsor. And it's amazing to me how the church just stumbles over the language of the fear of the Lord. It changes it, you know, because they don't want to use the word fear. Because fear, you know, conjures up thoughts. It disturbs people. It gives them an image of God, supposedly an image of God that isn't healthy. And they're afraid of God in the wrong kind of way, like a slavish fear. Well, I think we should just keep the fear of the Lord as it's given to us in the scripture and don't mess with it. Because what ends up happening is it gets really softened. And it gets, it's not powerful in the end of the day. Because to know the holy God is a fearful and awesome thing. It, you mean just when an angel, for example, was also a creature. In scripture, whenever there's a story, and even in human history, when an angel appears, what happens to human beings? They tremble. They're fearful because of the awesomeness of this creature. And they're tempted to fall down and worship and tempted to repent, you know, because immediately in the presence of holiness, we see that we're unholy and that we're not giving to God what belongs to God. And it gets exposed in an instant. And that's what the fear of the Lord does. The fear of the Lord purifies, it says. It gives us wisdom, right? It humbles us before God, but it gives us strength because God is, this purity allows us to see the truth about God and how to live. And it's a grasping at another level of the greatness of God. So it's a beginning motive and it's a bulwark in our life when sometimes just radical love of God isn't our main motive. Because of how we're struggling or what other things that we love and that we want to pursue. It's so wonderful to be able to take the truth of the Word of God and to walk in it as it's given to us and not to gut it, not to psychologize it out of its pure content and what it's meant to communicate. The Holy Spirit wants to put a fire in us that's rooted also in the fear of God. I remember maybe twice in my life where I had an experience, what I would call an experience of the fear of the Lord. And in just 2016, I've shared this before on the radio program. That's kind of the latest one. One was way back in 1980, somewhere around there. And this one was in 2016. I mean, I've had help over the years when I'm falling or when I'm filled with fear of rejection of people and things, and the Lord has helped stir up the fear of the Lord at times, and that's wonderful. But I'm talking about just like being gripped by it. And I was in Uganda for a priest retreat that we were leading, priests and bishops, about 350 priests and bishops from 5 East African countries. It's always such a joy to be with all the brothers. They're amazing people. But while I was there, I was really in a spiritual battle, partly because of my own weaknesses and things, but I was in a spiritual battle just personally, and then the Lord really helped me at one point to kind of let go of it. It was kind of a tormenting few days by the enemy, and I couldn't throw him off my back, and I was believing his lies and his narrative about my life in a way that isn't helpful. But I got some help and some prayer from some of the team members, and then we went to Mass, the whole group of us, all the priests and the bishops, and it's so funny, I hadn't slept very much those few days, first few days I was there, but after having just experienced the blessing of the Lord and help from friends, I just had this feeling sitting there at Mass like I had a full night's sleep. It was just amazing when the weight of the enemy gets lifted. And so I'm just sitting there, go to communion, and just came back and just felt real communion with the Lord and with all the brothers who were there. And I was just feeling peaceful, grateful, and just feeling okay. And just like all is well. You know, yesterday it didn't feel at all this way. But right now in this moment, all is well. And so I felt at that moment, I felt like the Lord said, take up your journal. So I grabbed my notebook. And I thought because of what was happening in the moment, I was experiencing just being a child of God, an imperfect child of God, but deeply loved by God. You know, just in one of those moments. And I thought he was going to say like, prompt something in me like, you know, I still like you, or, you know, I love you, Peter, or something like that, you know, which occasionally it's really good to hear from the Spirit, right? But instead, as soon as I grabbed my journal and grabbed my pen, I felt the holiness of God, like the fear of God come on me. And I sensed him saying that he's like coming to deal with the church and the world. This coming to deal with the sicknesses that's in the church, spiritual strongholds that he was coming to break, that the church is trapped in and that she can't free herself from because of how much accommodation and how deep it is, whatever, but like a spiritual stronghold. Jesus, I really felt so vividly that the Holy God was coming to deal with it. And it's a redemptive discipline, the discipline of the Lord. He disciplines those whom he loves. And I've talked about this on the program over the years, off and on. But I'm just saying it now because it relates to this theme of the fear of the Lord and doing what the Lord calls us to do. And so I wrote that down. He said, and my judgment is coming on the idols of the world. That Jesus is coming to expose the resistance to God's kingdom and the idols that the church even is running after, you know, the classic stuff, money, power, sex, all that. And the icons in the world that are before us, the idols of money, the idols of power, the idols of control, the idols, you name it, that Jesus was going to, before our eyes, empty them and give us an experience of how empty they are, you know? And I was there, I was just shaking a little bit, but it was a beautiful sense. It was like pure and it was powerful. And he said, you're quickly going to see an increase of confusion, rage, apostasy, anger within society. And I felt like the Lord said, I'm permitting it to happen because of my plan for my love for the world. He has to detach us from our attachment to idols that we run after, that we live in, that we feel like we can't live without. And they're in us deeper than we realize. And that's why he has to expose them. And the church is meant to be a light in that darkness of slavery to idols. But because of the weakness and the compromise within the church and some of the poor leadership that's happened in the church and how we've allowed the world to grip us, and leaders have been trapped in some of these idols, and people like me at times in my life have been trapped in them. And what the Lord wants to do is to come and to purify us. And he's going to do it. And he's going to do it like Moses said, don't fear, for God has come to prove you. He's come to test you. And he's come to test you because he wants the fear of the Lord to be in your soul. Church, deep down, the fear of the Lord, to get rid of the fear of men, which is really crippling the church and the church's mission. It's terrible what's going on. The inordinate self-love that's present in us. Like, I just want people to like me. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be rejected. I want to get along. And so we end up affirming everything around us. And we act like we're being loving, but we're affirming everything around us, not because we're being more loving, but because we want everybody to like us. Because we don't want to be rejected. And we don't take up the full counsel of God's word, which is pure and clear. And so God has to purify the church because he loves the world. He loves those in the world. He wants them saved. But if the church is compromised and her salt is flat and her light goes dim, she can't fulfill her mission. So that's part of what we've been going through. I think right now in this season of COVID and the riots and everything else, lots is being exposed. I want to talk more about this next week. But friends, we're in the hands of the Lord. Let's live in the fear of the Lord and love and trust him. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.